In the asymmetric warfare of NATO versus a few thousand Taliban and Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan and Pakistan, some tribesmen from Waziristan are abruptly trying to level the playing field by taking the CIA to court.
CIA attacking Pakistani civilians is simple homicide. It's as simple as that. It's target killing, extrajudicial killing.
That's Pakistani attorney Shahzad Akbar talking to our partners, the BBC. He's representing tribesmen from Waziristan who say U.S. drone attacks constitute indiscriminate killing of civilians. Shahzad says he has plenty of evidence to present in open court.
There is one person who has lost both his legs, one eye. He's a seventh grade student. There's another person who has come. He's a child. I have to find out a legal way how I sue on his behalf.
Outside the parliament, a protest from the tribesmen, angry not just at the U.S. drone attacks, but at the fact that there's been a steep rise in the number of such strikes under the Obama administration.
You can get a sense of the kind of witnesses for the plaintiffs here if you listen to a young man the BBC spoke with named Saddam. He's 15 years old. A drone missile hit his house in the middle of the night. His sister-in-law was killed along with his niece. The family house reduced to rubble. It's left lasting physical and mental scars.
It's had a huge psychological impact on us. We spend the whole time looking up at the skies. Some people are on strong medication to try to cope.
The U.S. has long argued that drone attacks along the Pakistan-Afghanistan border are an important tool in the fight against Taliban and Al-Qaeda. But now the whole WikiLeaks affair has delivered a whole new range of possible evidence. Cables released in the last week suggest that the Pakistani government is either complicit in these drone attacks or willing to let the U.S. continue with the policy.
Legally speaking, this is suddenly a target-rich environment. The CIA, Pakistan, NATO. Here's the lawyer for the civilians, Shahzad Akbar, once again.
I would say if Pakistani government is complicit in this thing, then it's a criminal act. And if you look at the numbers, not more than 50 highly sensitive targets have been achieved in last 6 years of these drone attacks in Pakistan, but there are more than 2,000 casualties. So my question is, who are these 1,950 people who have been killed?
That is Shahzad Akbar speaking to our partner, the BBC. And he says there are many possible friends of the court in this case. This summer, a UN special rapporteur, Philip Alston, said U.S. drone attacks should stop immediately. He argues they encourage a PlayStation mentality towards killing.
And the CIA had this to say in a statement to The Takeaway yesterday. Without commenting on legal action that may be underway in foreign courts, the CIA's counterterrorism operations, which are now as aggressive as ever, are precise, lawful, and effective. The CIA statement goes on to say the agency's goal is to disrupt, dismantle, and defeat Al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups that remain determined to attack the United States and our allies. End of statement. This case has already taken more than a few days in court motions on both sides. A full-scale trial in open court could be the first detailed legal look at the realities of the 9-year-old so-called war on terror. Joining us now is the BBC's Alim Maqbool, joining us from Islamabad. Alim, I'm interested to know, is the CIA actually filing motions in this case and showing up in Islamabad courts?
Well, they haven't done as yet, but it's in the very early stages at the moment. It's been lodged at the High Court, and the CIA is being sued for wrongful killing. That's what this is about. And what the lawyer described this as was very similar because the CIA as a civilian organization is leading these drone attacks, these missile strikes in the tribal areas. He likened it to an American citizen getting off a plane here in Pakistan, murdering somebody and heading back. So that is what they are going on. But it is very difficult to say whether this has really got any legs and whether this will produce the results for the claimants.
It seems as though the lawyers are trying to liken this to the Lockerbie case or something like that, where sort of death from the skies is connected to, the people who actually carry it out far from the site of the actual attacks.
Yes, that's right. I mean, it is all a very difficult subject to touch this and for us to report on as well, because it's all going on in places that we simply find completely inaccessible. The army doesn't allow us to go to the tribal areas that border Afghanistan. So every time we hear there's a drone attack, we simply can't verify who's being killed. Actually, there was some research done earlier in the year that said that most people living in those areas actually felt the right targets were being hit, that militants were being hit, but we constantly hear reports that civilians are injured and killed as well, though, it's, as I say, it's very difficult to get hold of those people. But we did also, the BBC did some research a couple of months ago and questioned the Taliban as well, who said they did feel that this was disrupting their activities, that the drone strikes, which started under President Bush but have actually increased in frequency under President Obama, was having an impact. But these lawyers say, you know, whether it is or it isn't, it's simply illegal and has to stop.
Right. So the question of military value is not going to be necessarily relevant in open court. Is this likely to proceed as a test case involving one severely injured child, as was referred to in your compelling tape there? Or is this going to be more like a class action lawsuit where it would be everybody in Waziristan is a plaintiff? And how much compensation are we talking about here?
Well, at the moment, it is a class action, but it's representing 15 people at the moment. Some of them are children who've been injured, but they're mainly people who've lost relatives. They're talking about $25 million in total. But the lawyer was also saying that it is interesting to note that a lot of people are not coming forward, because there have been cases in the past where, when compensation is accepted by someone, the Taliban then attack the family involved, because they say they shouldn't have accepted money from the enemy, and it means they're no longer on the right side.
So that possibly argues that maybe the lawyers should go after the Pakistani government. Is there a chance of that?
Well, that is the very question that I asked the lawyer here, because, as you'll know, through some of the WikiLeaks over the last week, the thing that a lot of people suspected was put in black and white, which is that the Pakistani government, in spite of the fact that they come out publicly and say they're very against these drone strikes, that they undermine Pakistan's sovereignty, that America shouldn't be bombing on Pakistani soil, it was always the feeling that the politicians here were giving the green light to these attacks. Well, in one of the WikiLeaks cables, the Prime Minister said, look, we'll say in Parliament that we don't want this to happen, but actually we'll ignore it.
Wow.
So it was very, very clear. And so he said, as you heard him say a short while ago, he feels that if they are found to be complicit, that it is criminal, and there may be the possibility of action against the Pakistani authorities as well.
So the wheels of justice may turn slowly there in Pakistan, but the political ramifications may be short-term and almost immediate from these WikiLeaks cables, regardless of what happens in court. Aleem Maqbool, BBC reporter in Islamabad, following a case against the CIA from tribesmen in Waziristan over U.S. drone attacks. Aleem, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.